Healer, heal thyself. While healthcare professionals are becoming stressed, depressed, and suicidal. Part 1. By Jed Diamond, Ph.D., LCSW. I have been a healthcare professional for more than 50 years. During that time, I have risen in my profession and helped thousands of men and women to live fully, love deeply, and make a positive difference in the world. I have also been stressed, depressed, and suicidal during much of my professional life. I'm not alone. According to Mark Olfson, MD, MPH, professor of epidemiology at Columbia University, healthcare workers compared with non-healthcare workers have greater risks for mental health problems and long-term work absences due to mental disorders and are at increased risk of suicide compared with workers in other fields. It took me a long time to recognize and accept my own problems and to get the help I needed. Like many health professionals, I thought I could save the world. I put the needs of my clients ahead of my own and suffered as a result. I also believed that most health problems were gender neutral, with the same treatment applicable for males and females. That changed for me when our son went into treatment for his alcohol and drug problems. My wife and I were invited to come visit him during family week. As part of the education we received about addictions and the underlying causes, all the family members were given a standard depression questionnaire. Most experts agreed that people who suffered from addictions, as well as family members, often suffered from depression. My wife, Carlin, scored high on the depression scale, indicating that she likely had some degree of depression. I scored low, indicating that I didn't. When we returned home, she saw a doctor, received a more in-depth examination, which verified the findings. She started on medications and counseling, and things improved greatly in her life, as well as mine. 2 months into her own therapy, she suggested that I might also be suffering from depression. I don't think so, I told her. Remember, you're the one that scored high on the test. I scored low. Maybe so, she told me. But tests don't always tell the whole story. I still think you could use some help. I disagreed and got busy doing my work, seeing clients, but my stress and irritability increased. Things got worse between us, and I finally agreed to see someone, hoping it would put her mind at ease. Instead, the therapist agreed with her. Though my symptoms were different than hers, my depression was real, I was told. Carlin shared some of her frustrations with the therapist. Jed has rapid mood changes. He's angry, accusing, argumentative, and blaming one moment. The next, he's buying me flowers, cards, and love notes. He can happy in the life of the party one moment, then become irritable, anxious, and depressed the next minute. I spent 7 years in treatment, which included medications, in addition to psychotherapy. Things began to improve, and lifelong issues that I had avoided were dealt with and resolved. I wrote 2 books about what I learned. The Irritable Mollus Syndrome. Understanding and Managing the 4 Key Causes of Depression and Aggression, and Mr. Mean, Saving Your Relationships from the Irritable Mollus Syndrome. In the process, I heightened my awareness about differences between men and women and why that is important for clinicians and clients. According to Marianne J. Legato, MD, founder of the Partnership for Gender-Specific Medicine, until now, we've acted as though men and women were essentially identical except for the differences in their reproductive function. In fact, information we've been gathering over the past 10 years tells us that this is anything but true, and that everywhere we look, the two sexes are startlingly and unexpectedly different not only in their normal function, but in the ways they experience illness. I delved more deeply into the science of gender-specific medicine and learned that new information on genetic differences between males and females were also important to our understanding. David C. Page, MD, is professor of biology at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, and director of the Whitehead Institute, where he has a laboratory devoted to the study of the Y chromosome. There are 10 trillion cells in the human body, and every one of them is sex-specific, says Dr. Page. We've had a unisex vision of the human genome, but men and women are not equal in our genome, and men and women are not equal in the face of disease. A great deal of the research going on today, which seeks to understand the causes and treatments for disease, is failing to account for this most fundamental difference between men and women. The study of disease is flawed. There are many problems with our healthcare system. Stephen C. Schimpf, MD, is one of the world's foremost experts on healthcare. He says, the nation leads the world in spending for medical care but lags in quality because it lacks a healthcare system. Instead, he says, the United States has a sick care system. It is one of the reasons that many doctors and other health professionals are leaving the field just at a time when they are needed the most. More than 145,200 clinicians exited the healthcare workforce in 2021 and 2022, with physicians in particular internal medicine and family practice doctors at the head of the line, according to a newly updated industry report from Definitive Healthcare. Beyond the physician population, 2021 and 2022 also had about 34,800 nurse practitioners, 15,300 physical therapists, 13,700 physician assistants, and 10,000 licensed clinical social workers leave the workforce. If you're interested in learning more, drop me an email to jed@menolive.com. Put men's courses in the subject line. To read more articles like these, please consider subscribing to my free newsletter.